Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Really, Michelangelo ended up taking this work of art and becoming a lesson in how God took and shaped a nobody into a somebody. That so God does that for our life, for your life, for my life. And very simply, God will take you as a nobody and have him make you into a somebody if you are, as David, had a heart after God.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
I was fascinated by the conversation we had in relationship to Florence, Italy, and did a little bit of research on one of the most famous works of art in sculpturing, in marble. But the fascinating part of all that, in 1464, as I recall, as I'm thinking about it, Donatello was commissioned to do this work of art. It was one of going to be 12 Old Testament characters. Guess which Old Testament character they picked? Who are we talking about today? There you go, David. So he picked David, and for a number of years, he began working on this massive piece of marble. He eventually dies. His assistant picks it up and continues on with the work, gets the legs, gets the upper torso, and then they just abandon the work. For 25 years, this piece of marble sits out in the elements. It's leaned down over on its side, and it's very weather-beaten and beaten up, and therefore, out of all of this, eventually, the office says, listen, we want to commission again somebody to finish this piece of art. And so in that, multiple masters look at that, and many of them say, I don't want to mess with it. It's already been worked on, and the elements have beaten it up. So they lift it up, stand it straight up, and Leonardo da Vinci himself says, I'm not going to touch this. And then, not a young upstart, but a young man in Michelangelo says, as I was doing some reading related to what he called the Sisegno, and I don't know if that's exactly how it's pronounced, but the concept is, as he looked at it, that the theory is that the image, as he said, the image of David was already in this block of stone. And so, for the next 3 years, from 1501 to 1504, Michelangelo begins his work on the famous portrait and sculpture out of marble, which now 17 feet tall, unfolds the picture of David. It really is an amazing piece of art. I guess what caught my attention, and I'm not an artist, but, and this particular piece of art, by the way, has been reduplicated a few times, and the one that I actually saw was in Vegas a number of years ago. That actually was flying through there, and it was out in one of the lobbies, and really quite an impressive sight. Some things that step out to you that evidently was part and parcel of the whole mystery, and in essence, as I would see it, art historians that differ on some of their views. For example, his right hand, which is larger than the rest of his body. Whether that is by proportion, knowing Michelangelo, and you look up at the 70-foot-high statue here, that by proportion, it's going to look normal as you're looking up at it. But the right hand is a little bit larger. Whether that is, in fact, is Michelangelo's own way of saying the right hand of God is more powerful than all, I don't know. They suggest that this particular portrait that is done by Michelangelo actually is David, as Michelangelo saw his facial and his body tensity ready to go into battle with Goliath. His sling is over his shoulder. Some would suggest that, well, it's him ready to go into the battle because there's a stone in his sling. And yet others would say, no, it's after the battle, just before heading off to cut off his head because he had another stone, one of the other four that he picked up, ready to get after his brothers. I don't know. But I do know that it would be a visible picture of what spiritual life was going on in the life of David. And what you would imagine is Michelangelo took the painstakingly and creative and talented ability to portray the picture of David in his body God, through Scripture, unveils for us His very spirit and His very soul and the power in which this young shepherd boy unfolded the very power of God. Do you remember this story of David? Now, the last couple of messages has been the start of, which will continue, the life of David. I mentioned to you, starting with the shepherd's song, and David himself was that young shepherd boy that of Psalm 78, God unfolded those powerful qualities about David. And if you were journaling, you probably took a simple outline that I won't go through, but the point was that David was this young shepherd boy at 15, a nobody that nobody noticed. And that just as really Michelangelo ended up taking this work of art and becoming a lesson in how God took and shaped a nobody into a somebody, that so God does that for our life, for your life, for my life. And very simply, God will take you as a nobody and have Him make you into a somebody if you are, as David, had a heart after God. I want to take time and look at this one snapshot, but I don't want you to miss the point, because just as it was with Michelangelo, that really, in his mind's eye, as what he so masterfully could do physically, taking this real-life drama with spiritual life applications. In the introduction, very simply, there's no greater story that's recognized by more people than this really ancient Polaroid moment. The narrative is familiar, but really no less fascinating and factual. And I don't want you to get lost in the familiarity of the story, but I do believe there are four powerful life lessons that you and I can make application to, and I'm half a mind to be able to read the whole story in full. But maybe for your benefit, in 1 Samuel 17, you end up finding the story here of David, who again was this shepherd boy at 15. And over this period of time, he ends up, over the next year or so, in and out of his contact with Saul and who is the king, selected because of his outward greatness and who he was. And then God, in His providence, knew that Saul was going to end up failing, making wrong choices, disobedient, out of pride, out of impatience. And out of all that, God selected this young boy, David, out of the life of a family, Jesse, one of eight children, the youngest boy, and there in the sheepfold. David now is called by his father, Jesse, and in 1 Samuel 17, you end up finding verse 12, very simply, that David was there in the sheepfold, there with the sheep, doing what he did so well by his skill of his hand. And there in verse 14, David was that youngest. He had three oldest that had followed Saul. They were in a battle. They were required to go into battle. And there's where you end up finding his brothers now off in the battlefields. And so you find verse 17 that Jesse said to David, his son, take now thy brethren and this parched corn and the loaves and run to the camp to your brethren. And what I want to do is just kind of hopscotch through this story, and then at the end here, let's draw some application. Can we do that? Stay with the story, because this narrative is really quite fascinating. Do you remember in verse 18, he told them, carry the 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000 and take your brethren and give it to them. Find out how they're doing. And so verse 19, Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley fighting with the Philistines. And there David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. He went as Jesse, his father, commanded him, and he came to the trench. And the host was going forth to fight, and they shouted for the battle. Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, which, by the way, this was very common in its day. It was almost like the old movies you see of the British that are in one line, marching, 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 and they get shot, and then the people keep marching forward. You say, why did they do that? I don't know. It seemed kind of funny to me, and a good way to get killed if you're on the front row, but nonetheless, that's how they did battle. In many occasions in that day, it was kind of the honorable way to do that, where, as we would see the story, one army and the other army said, all right, you pick a guy, and you fight, and whoever wins, we stay out of the battle. Whoever wins ends up getting it all. Not a bad way to look. The fact is, I think in some occasions that happened, the army ended up leaving. Like, haha, you beat us, but I'm leaving, so you can't take us captive. Well, that's kind of the setting in which you end up finding this story. So David rose up early. He did what his father asked him to do. He left his carriage in the hand of the keeper, and he came and saluted his brethren. And verse 23, as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. The armies of the Philistines spoke according to the same words, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him. They were sore afraid. They went on, verse 25, to say this is what you're going to end up getting if you end up killing this guy. Great riches and the daughter and the taxes. Verse 26, David spake to the men that stood by him and saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine, takes away the reproach from Israel? Who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The people answered him after his manner and said, so it'll be done to the man that kills him. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why did you come hither? With whom thou that did you leave the sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride. I know your naughtiness of your heart. You're come down that you might see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards one another and spake the same manner. And the people answered him in the same manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go. I'll fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, you're able to be against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth. Again, probably 16, maybe 17 years old. And he's a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after him and smote him and delivered in his mouth. And when he pursued after me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And the servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. You end up finding that David said, verse 37, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. So Saul armed David with his armor and put on the helmet of his brass and his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword about his armor and he essayed to go, but he would not prove it. David said, I can't go with these. I've not proved them. David put off. He took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David, and the man bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about him and saw David, he disdained him. He was youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. The Philistine said, am I a dog? You come to me with staves? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give you thy flesh of the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee in thine hand. I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take your head from you. I'm going to give you the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth. All the earth will know there's a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves you with the sword and the spear. He's not going to save you, for the battle's the Lord's, and will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, he came and drew nigh to meet David. The David hasted, ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slang it. Bad English. Smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. So David therefore ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You end up finding in verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. Powerful story.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.